Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Chicago-based fusion dance and physical theater company, Chicago Dance Crash. And joining me today are artistic director, Casey Beavis, executive director, Jessica Leva, and dancer, Philip Wood. Casey, Jessica, and Phil, welcome to Talking Art. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we are so excited you're here with us today and so excited that you are going to be back in town with us. You were here in 2020, correct?
Yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah, I think it was right before everything shut down. Well, tell us a little bit, just what is Chicago Dance Crash? I love the name.
Yeah, definitely. Well, a crash is actually a herd of rhino. So we are big and physical and a group of individuals. So crash is really special in that we blur the lines of art and entertainment. So right now we are in our 23rd season. We are made up of 8 phenomenal company members who are expertly trained in styles across the board in both classical styles, like contemporary ballet, modern, and jazz, and street dance styles like hip hop, breaking, aka break dance, and popping and house. And we blend those styles together and we tell stories through those styles. And because of our multifaceted nature, you're gonna see us do works across the board and varied in spectrum. So in commercial dance and concert dance and story-based shows.
That's so awesome. The videos are incredible. I love watching you guys, and I can't wait to see it live. And you're here with the Quad City Arts Visiting Artist Series, doing a series of school engagements, right?
Yes, we will be here for a week. We'll start off with our educational outreach programs. We're doing 2 different types of performances there. One is based on the history of hip hop dance, where we'll go through the influential styles underneath the hip hop culture. And then the other one is based on a generalized format of the history of dance styles Crash utilizes in our works.
That's awesome. It's going to be so great for the kids. I love that you're doing that and splitting that up and showing all the different forms that you guys are so fantastic at. And you will also have a public performance at the Galvin Fine Arts Center. What can audiences expect to see there?
Yeah, that is correct. We are performing 7 p.m. at the Galvin Fine Arts Center, and we're doing 3 different repertory pieces. One is a piece called Evolution by choreographer Annie Franklin, and that's more of a contemporary works. The other one is called On to the Other, actually, by choreographer and professor Elijah Motley, and that really tells the story of each individual dancer on Crash through a physical theater stage piece. And then the last piece is actually structured by myself, and it is a structured freestyle, so the dancers know when and where to go, but all the movement is being made up in real time. And what better way to do that than through the theme of the piece called Proximal, which is just telling about how everyone is influenced by each other.
What is the history of Chicago Dance Crash?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start us out, and then Jess, maybe I'll pop it over to you if you have anything to add. Crash began in 2002 by a group of theater kids, theater nerds, and they really just loved to tell stories. And we keep that same practice now. But they love to tell stories through theater. They were at first more of a like combat and like tricking dance company. And then it kind of evolved into more dance and more dance. And now we're here.
That's awesome. What is I'm a theater guy. And so, and I love physical theater a lot. Was there kind of any sort of pedagogy under what they were doing as far as like a style of movement or?
Yeah, I think they were, well, I know that our founder, Mark Hackman, was a tricker and he was doing more of capoeira movement, tricking in capoeira. And then I think sure. the other two founders, Marissa and Charlie, were more modern based. So I'm pretty sure they fused those styles together. And oftentimes why we say fusion, because we really just utilize whatever our company members bring to the table. And that's not just in dance style, but also within the cultures that they bring to really tell the stories.
Sure. And what do you mean by tricker? I've never heard that.
Tricking is... I think it's a style of more of like a parkour style. I'm actually
okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure it's a background in terms of that. But yeah, tricking is more of an acrobatic sport, I would say.
Got it. So doing tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like gymnastics, but less form-based. A lot more of like, okay, I'm going to rotate sideways this many times and upside down this many times. I'm not pointing my toes. It's more like effective.
Sure.
And very based on like specific momentum combos of like in place or in a circle of like, okay, I'll do a little bit of tumbling and then continue my gainer in one place over and over and add tricks to it. So.
Got it. And do you all have a background in tricking or was that something that when you got involved with Chicago Dance Crash that you had to learn?
Funny enough, my history is actually in competitive gymnastics. So I did that up. And when I met my the previous artistic director, Jessica Dare, I had shown her a competition acro dance that I did. And she was like, hey, do you want to, you know, audition for Dance Crash? You'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. So that's how I actually got into the door, was showing her my acrobatic skills. But I'll let Phil speak to his experience as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of learning like now of like on my tricking stuff. So I don't have much of a background in like dance at all. Mm-hmm. I really just like started in my second year of college. So yeah, my background is mostly in like learning how to do a backflip and then like copying Jabberwocky's choreography with my friends. And that has turned into my career over the past 10 years. So.
Nice. What about you, Jess?
I definitely came from opposite side of the spectrum. So when I was dancing with Crash as a guest artist, it was very role specific to what I could bring to the table because I'm not super comfortable being upside down with my feet off the ground, which while that didn't suit me for some of like the work that Crash was doing at the time, I would jump in if they needed someone who could fill more of a contemporary role. I was a repertory trained dancer, so I can pick up more choreographic focused rep as well. So I would pop in for the story shows more so in that mm-hmm. capacity and have since transitioned into more of a freestyle based practice in popping. So kind of took a different direction coming into Crash, but it was really, really cool to be in the space with people who were so comfortable with flinging their bodies through the air in ways that I'd never experienced before.
Sure. Yeah, I would be petrified of that. So how did you all get involved with Chicago Dance Crash?
Yeah, I'll go first. So I was a competition dancer, and I actually received a scholarship to come to Chicago and take an intensive with a jazz company. And while I was there, I was taking class with my old artistic director, Jessica Dare. Mm-hmm. And she actually asked me to audition, not for Crash, for a old school hip hop cover band that Jess and I actually still dance for today. And I convinced my parents, I was still in my senior year of high school. I convinced my parents that I could finish online and move and start my dance career based on this one small opportunity. And for whatever reason, they let me. And then I started just getting more connected with the Chicago community, taking every class that I could.
Yeah.
And I started working with a jazz company in Aside Dance Chicago. And like I said, Jess saw one of my competition dances and asked me to audition for Dance Crash. So this was back in 2013, actually. So I've been with the company for over a decade. But I auditioned, made apprenticeship, and then kept working my way up from there. And I love Crash because I could utilize all of my strong skills that I learned in this company, you know, unlike maybe a jazz company where you just have to do their jazz repertoire. I could do my commercial dance from my my competition background. I could utilize my gymnastic skills. And then I was learning street dance alongside of that when I got to Chicago. So yeah, I just kept working my way up, became rehearsal director in 2018 and starred in a couple of their performances. And now we're here.
That's awesome. How about you, Jess?
Yeah, my route was a little bit circuitous getting to Crash. So I had first seen Crash perform in, I think it was 2018 when Crash did Dance for Life, which is this huge production that happens in downtown Chicago every year. And the major companies of Chicago are invited to perform. So Giordano, Joffrey are always there, Hubbard Street. And I was looking to move to Chicago post-graduation. So I was kind of scouting companies that I would be interested for auditioning for. And funnily enough, Crash was probably the one that I clocked in my mind that I would probably never audition for because I didn't see myself as a fit at the time. Not because I didn't like the work or anything, but sure, because what they were doing was so acrobatic, yeah, was so freestyle focused. And those were completely out of the scope of what I was doing at the time, which was primarily ballet and contemporary dance only. And then fast forward to me moving to Chicago, I was still heavily in that world, training at the Lou Conti Studios that were under Hubbard Street at the time. They had a scholarship program. And my mentor in the program recommended me to Jess just to go audition at one of Crash's closed rehearsals, just to jump in, try some of their rep. And a couple months later, Jess called me up, said that they were having someone head out of town. This was in the midst of the pandemic in 2020, and they were looking for someone to fill one of the more contemporary bass roles for a production that was happening that year. And that is how I ended up with Crash and just kept popping in for a couple years before eventually taking on this role. And I'm very grateful for it. I don't know if I would still be dancing if it weren't for Crash, because it opened so many doors into specifically a freestyle practice that I primarily utilize now in my dance journey. So very grateful that it all worked out, but it's definitely not where I thought I would end up.
It's always so interesting to me, like when we get out of college or whatever, with our kind of initial training as a performer, you're like, this is the thing I'm going to do. And then you get out in the real world and it's like, oh, maybe not. Maybe not. I remember being in college and being like, I never want to do commercial work. Like, I'm a theater artist. And then suddenly commercials paid me money. And I was like, this is great. I love it.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. How about you, Phil? How'd you get involved?
Yeah, mine's a lot more random. So I think in 2021, I had just seen Crash essentially put up a an Instagram post to go to auditions. I had never seen anything from Chicago Dance Crash. I moved to Chicago in 2019, late 2019.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically to start my artistic career. I'd seen a post from them and I was like, oh, that seems cool. I looked up their website and it had some video of them. From what I can remember, it was dancing in an office and people were doing parkour stuff over chairs and things. I was like, sure, oh, that's cool. So then, but I couldn't make the audition day. I had hurt my knee, I think a week before, and it just wasn't getting any better. Yeah. So I just messaged the director and I was like, hey, so I can't make the audition. Could I audition another time or anything like that? And she basically, it was Jessica Dare at the time. And she basically just said hey, are you available like these dates? I was like, yes. She's like, okay, here's your contract. Like that was like about it. She just like stalked my Instagram, and after looking through my Instagram, she's like, all right, you're good. Audition done.
That's awesome. And sometimes we just find ourselves in the right place and the right connection.
Basically.
That's so awesome. Well, that you guys have been mentioning Jessica Dare. Casey and Jess, you've just kind of stepped into your roles in the last year or so, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I took on directorship in 2023, late 2023. And then I think Jess began in 2024. So we're about a year in.
Yeah. How's that transition from kind of primarily dancer to leadership for you?
I mean, I think Jessica did an amazing job. Jessica Dare, just kind of piloting me in. I started on more and more leadership roles. I think since 2018, it was first like, how do you do in a lead dancer role? How do you do being rehearsal director and then choreographing? And then I became educational outreach coordinator. So it was a very natural progression. And when she offered me the job, I was like, are you sure? And she's like, I've been prepping you for this. So don't worry. And, you know, we definitely have different leadership styles. She was very much a creative in that she loved to choreograph and produce the shows on her own. And I'm more, I think, of a facilitator, and I would still love to be dancing with the company. So I like to bring on, you know, different voices to choreograph and help produce the works. So it's been really interesting and really fun. And it's been lovely to have Jessica Leyva as my partner in crime. You know, we're both new to this, and she just always hears me out for everything that I need. So it's been great.
Yeah. And Jess Leyva, did you ever have kind of arts administration goals before?
Yeah, I started working with nonprofits when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I worked as a grant writer and financial chair in my first few years of school, and then eventually went to co-executive direct an organization on campus, which was a really good introduction to have something that was very structured, and it had been around for about 20 years. So we were inheriting a lot of systems at the time. It was part of my degree as well. I was in classes at my campus's business school for arts administration specifically, and was really a track that I was looking to go into when I graduated. I've held internships at organizations like Hubbard Street and the Harris Theater for Dance in Chicago, and was ultimately looking to go into that full time in 2020. But of course, pandemic happened, everything in the arts industry went a little bit haywire for a bit. So I actually went into business for myself for 3 years. I had a consulting company. And then come 2023 is when Casey approached me and said, hey, run this with me. It was at a session, and it was very out of the blue, but it was really cool because I was looking at the time of transitioning away from my company. I was just getting burnt out from not so much the running of the thing, but the actual field that I was in. I was in the health field, and I was really ready to come back to the art. So sure. The timing was really perfect. And it was a very cool full circle moment, because the role that I had, or the field that I had the intention of entering when I first moved to Chicago, has come back into my full-time work. So I started training for this job in 23. Luckily, I had a whole year to shadow the previous executive director to learn the ins and outs of the company. A lot of this year has been myself and Casey working together to essentially establish the way that we work best in the structure of the organization. So sometimes it does feel a bit like startup mode when we're rebuilding systems that we feel are most effective for us. But overall, I think we've done a great job with assembling a really committed and very passionate team around us as well, because this work is not easy. It's very hard. The concert dance industry is not for the faint of heart and those who are without grit. So just having folks in our corner to support us, especially when we are kind of at crossroads with our decision making and where we're pushing the organization, I think has been really instrumental to keeping that fire lit within us as well.
Yeah, that's so great that you had that crossover period, because it can be so so challenging in an arts organization when, you know, leadership changes and just different styles and personalities come into things. You know, so that's a just kind of a testament, I think, to the staying power of the organization, that that you had that in place and that you had that ramp up, Casey, to, you know, keep expanding your roles until you're ready to step into the role.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, it's such a gift for just Jessica Dare to just really believe in her dancer's vision. And I hope to fill her shoes in that way. She just let us kind of roll with whatever we wanted. So I feel like that's kind of what we're doing in terms of our vision, is we can just really put ourselves into it. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about just the style and kind of the fusion of all these different, you guys have talked about so many different styles of dance that you bring together. Like, I'm super curious how you approach that as a choreographer and artistic director, Casey, and also Phil, like how you kind of bring those other forms that maybe you weren't familiar with before into your work.
Yeah. So for me, artistic director and choreographer are two very different things for me. You know, when I'm hiring dancers, I really look at if they have a mastered style. So if they can really just do one style, and then if they have the foundation to kind of take on other styles. And most of the time, that's not even like physically, it's more like mental capacity. And if they are open and available to take on the other styles. And so putting that into our work in our season, we look at our classes and how we can support each dancer's style in that way. This year we did, in 2024, we did a street dance initiative where we really focused on those street dance styles that we utilize, as well as taking in like some floor work and modern and acrobatic classes, including like capoeira, where we focus on, you know, more like partnering work. And then as a choreographer, it's really dependent on what we are doing that season, if we're focused more on repertory work or a story-based show. And for me, it's actually easier to do a story-based show, because we can really utilize the certain styles that a dancer brings for a specific character. So if someone is more breaking based, we know that they could be a superhero in the show and
sure.
really take on that character. Or if they have waving, they can maybe be a serpent or whatever that is. So it is easier to do a story based show in that way. A lot of times we bring in choreographers and they not struggle, but they don't know what to do with the dancers, because everyone really approaches movement and choreography very different. So they really have to have experience with both street dance and concert dance in order to be able to successfully work with us, I would say.
Sure. And how do you kind of approach that, Phil?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, when we have, especially with story shows, it makes it a lot easier, because you're thinking a little bit less on terms of what style do I do? Like, because we can kind of also box ourselves in when it comes to, you know, kind of defining your style or whatnot. So when you kind of have a specific intention, like your job here is to portray this emotion, use your body to do it. Then sure. It can be a lot simpler to just communicate in that aspect, but then still give the respect and give the foundational like base of your dance movement when you do it. What I mean that by that is, like, you know, if I'm going to essentially represent breaking as my primary style whenever I'm in the show, then I'm not going to only just do like flips and tricks. I'm going to also include my groove, my top rock, my personality and character, which is extremely important in the breaking movement. And if you don't have that, then it's kind of like in our culture, it's like, oh, you're kind of taking from the culture without like actually doing it. So all that to say, it's like really good to be able to incorporate the things that we love and care about but then also use the movement to portray a certain thing. And that makes it a lot easier for me to switch in between things, especially since we kind of decide like, okay, here's our group. We're going to make stuff out of this group rather than pre-planning it, which can be very complicated.
Sure.
To completely switch things up depending on who makes it in the company, who comes to auditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can make it a little muddier, but then also be very individualized every time.
Yeah. And I think to Phil's point too, you know, yes, the dance styles, but also the culture that comes along with it. You know, we definitely take into account what that is. So for instance, in our last show, you know, we practice all of the elements of hip hop. So I've started to DJ a little bit, and we utilized that in our last performance where I live DJed our freestyle. But I think that's important to note.
Well, yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you about, was just when you're, if you worked with live musicians for your pieces, or, you know, how it's dance, obviously music plays a role in most dance. But like, how do you kind of, approach blending or selecting music for pieces and kind of making all that work together?
Yeah, I mean, so I had the best mentor in that. Jessica Dare had the best ear for music, and she was just so well versed in that, and she had her style. And oftentimes, like, especially within our story shows, we use different narrator vehicles. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is a rapper or an MC kind of narrating the show, or it is the music genre narrating the show. So whatever style of music it is, we kind of went into like that world, for instance. So for me and my style, I work with a producer named Eject. Shout out Eject. He is amazing, and he's upcoming in Chicago. And he himself has a really natural blend of styles. He really likes metal and new metal and rock and hip hop. And he just kind of works with me on whatever I tell him the feeling of the piece. And then mm-hmm. He just does it. And so with that, I'm able to kind of create our own original sound scores often. And then in terms of if we want a freestyle piece that's more just about the feeling or the vibe, then we either live DJ or just pick tracks based on that.
That's awesome. Well, and how do you approach that blend of kind of freestyle and composition? Like, I'm sure there are, you know, different pieces have kind of a different blend of that. But is that something where, like, this piece is strictly composed and choreographed versus this piece has more freestyle to it? How do you approach that in the process of the creation of the pieces?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really based on what the choreographer wants. So, for instance, we had over the summer Elijah Motley in, and he has training in both concert dance and, you know, street dance. So some of the parts of his composition were freestyle based. He gave a section and an intention with it, and then it flowed in and out of choreography and where you could kind of input the freestyle. I think for me in particular, in a choreographic lens, I very much enjoy creating those structured freestyles mm-hmm. where I like to see the expression of what happens in real time, you know, with the dancers dancing together. So I like to just give an intention and time and space and let the dancers go. So I really think it's just whatever the choreographer wants. And sometimes maybe it's easier because the dancers are endless. Like, you tell them to, you know, you're like, dance like an octopus on land, and they could go for 10 minutes. It's so entertaining, and it's honestly so hard to even cut them off. Like, I'm sure in the future we will do a whole show just based on freestyle because they are so incredible at it. And I think for me in particular, in my practice, and why I'm so attracted to Crash, is that we do utilize hip hop and street dance, and it has been just so influential in my life and finding myself, and yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah, how does that, Phil, affect your kind of how do you do, like, freestyling or something composed better? Or how do you work within those two structures?
I mean, I love the mixture. I do both choreography and freestyling. So, you know, I go to battles as well as make my own choreo.
Yeah.
And other people's choreo. So it's like I like the mixed bag of things. And I feel like it's a lot more authentic to mix things up rather than have everything completely set. Because, you know, you're kind of like letting out a whole aspect of the dance, which can be like improvisation. It's like, you know, kind of taking a tool out of the box for no reason. So I like having them all in there, having everything incorporated a lot.
Yeah, it was one of the things I looked forward to most of the Summer Olympics this year was the breaking competition that they added, which is not staying around, unfortunately. But it was so fascinating to watch those dancers, like as they would progressively get deeper in rounds, like, oh, I got to pull some other tricks out and putting them back together. It was just fascinating to so athletic, so like I was exhausted watching them, but it blew me away.
And breaking is a great example of that type of mixture of not letting, like using everything you can to your advantage. Cause especially in breaking rounds, like people will have like signature combos or sets where, you know, they'll be freestyling and they may enter it a different way, but it's like, yeah, this is my, like I'm known for this combo from going from this move to this move to this like freeze on my hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's choreography. Technically it's a combo. So
yeah,
that's 100% every single breaker you saw, they not only made stuff up right there, maybe a move they never did before, but they also planned that same move like 10 years ago in their garage, 100%.
Well, I was talking to a poet recently, Aubrey Barnes, who goes by Aubs, but he also does battle rap. And we were talking about that same idea of like, yeah, I've got my rhymes that, you know, I know are going to go together, but in a specific battle rap, how I'm going to pull them out or lead into them, or, you know, there's that combination of work that I've prepped, but then knowing that work so well that I can weave it together in a new way for that particular live moment.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I think it just speaks to, if you always hear people say this and it's kind of cliche, but freestyle is not free of style, right?
Right.
Definitely do work hard in training these foundations, even though they are hip hop. And I think people, you know, correlate them not being in a dance studio or not having technique. Oh, it's just fun. That's definitely not true. We spend hours and hours and hours training these styles on our own. I think Jessica is a perfect example. You'll see her every night in her bedroom just popping away. And it does speak to, you know, the level of talent that these dancers are bringing to the stage. And freestyle is not an easy thing. It definitely takes a lot of practice, and the practice of freestyle as well. We train a lot in rehearsal just on our freestyle practice.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all so much for talking with me today. I can't wait to see it live. I'm excited to get to see what you're doing in the schools and also at the public performance. So thank you so much for joining me today. Once again, their public performance will be on Thursday, January 16th at 7 p.m. at the Galvin Fine Arts Center on the St. Ambrose campus. You can get those tickets at quadcityarts.com. Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for their support. And as always, to our amazing producer, Mark. For more information on Chicago Dance Crash, you can visit Chicago Dance Crash. Crash.com. I'm Ben Gujan, and this was Talking Art.